Picking up where we left off the last time we were together, Abimelech was already there at Mount Gerizim, and he had been crowned king. But Jotham, the true youngest son of Gideon, had found out that he was there. Abimelech was already there. Jotham heard that the word that Abimelech was what he was doing and that he was being crowned king. And so Jotham goes to Mount Gerizim. And he goes up there and stands on top of Mount Gerizim. And Mount Gerizim is about 800 feet above the floor where Shechem rests, the town of Shechem rests. And there he can see Abimelech and he can see the men. And he challenges these men against Abimelech's being king of Israel. So he does it first by reasoning, and we saw that in Jonathan speak that in verse number 7 of chapter 9. I want to read it for you again. We read it last week, but I want to read it for you again this week. It says, "Now when they told Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and called out. Thus he said to them, 'Listen to me, O men of Shechem, that God may listen to you.' Here is the plea of Jotham. Sin is in control of Abimelech. And because of that, sin is in control of these men of Shechem. And so Jotham cries out to these men. And what he's attempting to do is to persuade them to listen to him so that God will listen to them. So with reasoning, Jotham told a story. And here's the story where we left off of the tree that wanted to be king. The trees that wanted a king, I should say it that way. Starts in verse number 8. We're going to read the story here. "Once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my fatness with which God and the men are honored and go to wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come, reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees?' And then the tree said to the vine, 'You come, reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave my new wine, which cheers God and men, and go to wave over the trees?' Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come, reign over us.' The bramble said to the trees, 'If in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon.'" Jotham's story speaks of a tree that is so desperate for a king that it will take anything that will agree to be king as its king. It looked to the olive tree first, the best of all trees, one honored by God and by men. The olive tree did not need the praise of another tree. So the olive declined the offer. Then the tree made the same offer to the fig. Not a sturdy tree at all, not regal by any means at all, but still a tree of sorts. But the fig knew of its sweet fruit, and those who sought such sweet fruit. Being king over the trees was not something as sweet and desirable to the fig. So the tree sought the vine to be its king. Not really a tree at all, by the way, is the vine. Not stable, not sturdy, but it had its best qualities too. It brought cheer to many. Being king over the trees was not an acceptable offer, so it declined. The trees then sought a king in the bramble. A prickly shrub, by the way, filled with thorns. I want you to notice Jotham says, "Finally all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come and reign over us.' Of all the trees who spoke, Not one of them was willing to stand to be the king over the rest. Rather, they sought a king that is a thorn. The fitting image of Abimelech, a thorn in the flesh of Gideon's children, a prickly pear, a prickly briar, a bramble, a most unacceptable king for any people. Second, Jotham attempted to challenge Abimelech's kingship by rationale. Verse number 16. Now therefore, if you have dealt in truth and integrity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and dealt with him as he deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian. But you have risen against my father's house today and have killed his sons, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your relative. If then you have dealt in truth and integrity with Jerubbaal and his house this day, rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. With the story over, Jotham delivers to the men of Shechem, and by the way, Beth Milo, which we'll find here in a second, the stark and bitter reality. The bottom line is this first part of the challenge is in Jotham's question of how the men treated Gideon and his sons. Were you fair with Gideon and his sons? Think of that rationally. Were you fair? Then Jotham rationally challenged the men to consider the kingship of Abimelech. And here we have it in verse number 20. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume the men of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and consume Abimelech. Then Jotham escaped and fled, and he went to Beer and remained there because of Abimelech, his brother. So Jotham first called out and said, listen, have you treated my brothers and my father fairly? And if you haven't, then here's the rationale. If you continue on this path with Abimelech, may fire come out from him to destroy you, and may fire come out from you to destroy him. Jotham called on fire to consume both Abimelech and the city's men to stop Abimelech from being king. In other words, if Abimelech was happy being the king, and the men were happy with Abimelech as king, then they both will be doomed by the way of mutual destruction. How Jotham was able to escape from his half-brother and the men of Shechem of these two cities, we are not told. Yet he did. He ran to Beer. We are not certain of the location of Beer, but he ran there. Verse 22 tells us something. He says this, now Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. Jotham was unsuccessful in his challenge. And evidently Abimelech was happy being king, and the men were happy with Abimelech being their king. His kingship lasted only 3 years. But near the end of the 3 years, Jotham's call for fire between the two began to come true. The writer continued, Abimelech will be controlled. We see the indignation against Abimelech by the men of the city, and it begins at God's bidding, here in verse number 23. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, so that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood might be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hand to kill his brothers. The men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who might pass by along the road. And it was told to Abimelech. In their indignation, these men set a trap for Abimelech. They were tired of him. To lure Abimelech near, the men had to do evil to the common people on the road. May we say this again here, as we've already said several times through the story of Abimelech. Doing evil can never be rewarded with God's goodness. Doing wrong never brings about a good. Never. What does it mean when the writer says, then God sent an evil spirit? The Hebrew word used here for the word evil means ill-willed. Ill will. The Hebrew word for spirit means the wind. The wind, it's in this context, it's the wind. So before we bring these two thoughts together, may we look at the word God also. The word God here is the Hebrew word Elohim. It's not the word Jehovah, which is nor, and word Jehovah is normally translated Lord in the version that we're using. So that's one sure sign. This is the word Elohim. And being the word Elohim, the writer is telling us that the whole of the divine deity of God sent the wind of ill will between Abimelech and the men. Why did God do this? 3 years was long enough. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, was delivered to Israel for such cases as this. Deuteronomy 32, 35. Vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. Yes, God will send a spirit of ill will in order for calamity to come upon the thorns of disobedience. From the indignation against Abimelech, we come to the insurrection against Abimelech and again the men of Shechem by a marauder. Verse number 26. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his relatives and crossed over into Shechem. The men of Shechem put their trust in him, and they went out into the field and gathered the grapes of their vineyards and trod them and held a feast. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal, and is Zebal not his lieutenant? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? Would therefore that this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. We do not know whether this Gaal is an Israelite or this Gaal is a Canaanite. He, with his relatives, are marauders. And that means they are the ones that seem to move from place to place, making attack on attack and raid on raid for the purpose of plunder. Gaal and his family came from the east side of the Jordan River. They crossed over that Jordan River to arrive in Shechem. And most likely the men of Shechem put their trust in Gaal because he was ruthless and he had a ruthless reputation, and their desire to rid themselves of the king Abimelech that they had crowned. So he was the son of Ebed, as the scripture states. And that means nothing to us and gives us no clue as all of who he was. Ebed is translated other places in the scripture as Obed in the Bible, but neither were related to each other. So we don't know who this guy is. It was time for the vintage feast of the god of Baal. So the grapes were harvested and made into a wine, and at the feast, during this merriment, curses were raised towards Abimelech. And at the festival, Gaal asserted his desire to take Abimelech's place. Gaal has no desire to serve Abimelech or his lieutenant, the ruler of Shechem, Zebal, or the people of Shechem. So Gaal, in his drunken state, escalates the insurrection by taunting Abimelech to show himself up and increase his army. Now, because Gaal spoke words of insurrection against Abimelech, Zebal, the ruler of Shechem under Abimelech, was angered. So Ebal prepared Abimelech here in chapter 9, verse number 30. When Zebal, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger burned. He sent messengers to Abimelech, deceitfully saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem, and behold, they are stirring up the city against you. Now therefore arise by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. In the morning, as soon as the sun is up, you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And behold, when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you shall do to them whatever you can." So Abimelech and all the people who were with him arose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. The message was sent to Abimelech in the middle of the night and urging Abimelech to move that night with his army. And Abimelech did. He took the news seriously. He divided his army into four sections and placed them at different locations around Shechem. Meanwhile, back in Shechem, Zebal preoccupied Gaal, for Gaal was seeing shadows in the distance that morning. Verse number 35. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the city gate. And Abimelech and the people who were with him arose from the ambush. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebal, "Look, people are coming down from the top of the mountain." But Zebal said to him, "You are seeing the shadows of the mountains as if they were men." Let me tell you what's happening here. The sun is rising, and because the sun is in the face of Gaal, he can't see the men coming down the mountains. The sun is blinding him because of the shadow it's casting as the sun is rising across the mountain. Well, that morning Gaal went to that entrance. He saw that. And what did Zebal do? He just dismissed it. He said, "Gaal, no. You're just seeing shadows that are on the mountains, as if they were men." But Gaal did not accept Zebal's comment. He still thought he saw soldiers coming down the mountain. Verse number 37. Gaal spoke again and said, "Behold, people are coming down from the highest part of the land, and one company comes by the way of the diviner's oak." Then Zebal said to him, "Where is your boasting now with which you said, 'Who is Abimelech that he should serve him?' Is this not the people whom you despised? Go out now and fight with them." That morning after the drunken feast the night before, Gaal was not as sure of himself as he was when he was drunk. Zebul challenged him on his bravery. Zebul let the men of Abimelech get far enough down the mountain where it was too late for Gaal to move. He challenged him to fight Abimelech. Zebul knew. Gaal took the challenge from Zebal and struck up a battle with Abimelech. Verse number 39. So Gaal went out before the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many fell wounded upon the entrance of the gate. And then Abimelech remained at Armah, but Zebal drove out Gaal and his relatives so that they could not remain in Shechem. The text is plain. Gaal was not strong enough to take Abimelech and his army. That day Abimelech stayed at the place called Armah. The name means the height. It tells us that during that battle Abimelech stayed up on the height of the Mount of Ebal or Gerizim to watch the conflict. Abimelech was up on the mountain. Zebul was working inside the city of Shechem, dividing Gaal's attention and dividing his relatives. He's driving out Gaal. He's driving out the relatives. and we will never hear of Gaul and his relatives again. After this verse, we know absolutely nothing else about him. The day ended. The night passed. The next day came. Abimelech was not through with the town of Shechem. Verse number 42. Now it came about the next day that the people went out to the field, and it was told to Abimelech. So he took his people and divided them into three companies and lay in wait in the field. And when he looked and saw the people coming out from the city, he arose against them and slew them. Then Abimelech and the company who was with him dashed forward and stood in the entrance of the city gate. The other two companies then dashed against all who were in the field and slew them. From four companies of soldiers, Abimelech in the night had organized the men into three companies of soldiers. There in the field outside Shechem, Abimelech and his men waited for the people of Shechem to come out, as he knew they would. Little did they know that Abimelech was angry with them, angry enough to kill them all. And that is what he did. From the slaughter of the soldiers in the fields of Gaul, Abimelech moved to the slaughter of the people of the city. Verse number 45. Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he captured the city and killed the people who were in it. Then he razed the city and sowed it with salt. Dead. All the people of Shechem were dead. The people and the city was destroyed to the ground. The city was then sown with salt, all in one day. Why? What was the purpose of the salt? Salt destroys vegetation. The city would be barren from then on. Notice that it does not say Abimelech salted the fields. It only says he salted the city. If he wanted to destroy the site totally, he would have sown salt in the fields too. But not all the people of Shechem were in Shechem at the time of Abimelech's raid. The leaders who were in the tower of Shechem ran to the temple of El Barith for safety. Abimelech followed them there to that temple. Verse number 46. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the inner chamber of the temple of El Barith. It was told Abimelech that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. So Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a branch from the trees and lifted it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, hurry and do likewise." All the people also cut down each one his branch and followed Abimelech and put them on the inner chamber and set the inner chamber on fire over those inside, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. The temple of El Barith was the structure where Baal Barith was worshipped in the Shechem area. El means God. Barith means covenant. El Barith was the place where the worshipers of Baal made a covenant with Baal. It's probably where the treasury was too, where they gathered the money to give Abimelech. Now back in Judges chapter 9:4, that's the same place that is called the house of Baal Barith. It was where the godless, idolatrous Baal worshipers of Shechem and Milo sought refuge, putting their trust in the temple and its idol and the Asherah, hoping to be protected by Baal. Abimelech kindled a fire with tree branches and burned the temple with 1,000 men and women to the ground. It is a fulfillment of the curse placed on Shechem by Jotham. Let's remind ourselves of that. Back in this chapter 9, verse 15 and verse 20. When Jotham said, "The bramble said to the tree, If in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 20. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume the men of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and consume Abimelech. For those who think as I do, we must ask the question, how did Abimelech use freshly cut tree branches to burn down a tower? The answer is in the Hebrew word used here. The Hebrew word is soaka, and it means brushwood or dead wood. The men followed Abimelech's lead and cut dead branches from the tree to use for the fire. And they did it from the cedar trees. Now, folks, if you don't know about cedar trees, you've not done much outdoor camping and all of that. But I'm going to tell you this. The sap from a cedar tree, a branch, dead or alive, is extremely flammable. And once you set that thing on fire, just setting that sap inflammable of a fire, even green limbs will burn. But this was dead wood. That's what they picked, dead wood. Guess what, folks? Our story of Abimelech attacking the tower is over, but he's not through with the people. He's going to move on to a place called Thebes. But that will happen in verse 50 when we return together next time to study God's Word.